This episode of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Today, we're excited to welcome Jackie Hill Perry to the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Jackie is a wife to Preston and a mom to two young girls, Eden and Autumn. She has an amazing story of how she came to Christ, which we'll touch on today during the show as we're discussing what it means to find your identity in Christ. Her new book, Gay Girl, Good God, gives a deeper look at her story, which includes gender confusion and same-sex attraction, and how God broke in and turned her heart towards Him, transforming her life to follow and obey Him in light of the gospel. Today, we'll be talking specifically about common ways we misplace our identity as moms and how we can remember the gospel to root our identity back in Christ. Jackie is a writer, poet, artist, speaker, and teacher. Let's get to the show with Jackie, Laura, and myself.
Well, hi, Jackie. Thanks so much for joining us on Risen Motherhood today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we are thrilled to have you on the show. Emily and I have both really enjoyed your content, especially over the past couple of years as we've interacted with your ministry more and the things that you do. So we are just really excited to have you on the show and to introduce the work that you do and your wisdom to the listeners of Risen Motherhood today.
Yay. I hope I can add some value in my... Yeah, I'm still an amateur mother.
Well, we're excited because we're talking about identity in Christ, which is one of those big common phrases that feel like everyone's tossing it around and we say it to ourselves, we tell it to our friends, but it's kind of one of those hard words to understand. And so we want to get more into your story and to hear more about who you are, but we were wondering if you could start off with just defining a little bit of what does this phrase mean? Why is it essential as a Christian to understand? And then I think we'll move into knowing a little bit more about your story and how that plays in.
Yeah. I think the most basic or simple way to understand identity is, who am I? And I think understanding who I am kind of points to, what is my purpose? Why was I created? And I think our primary identity has always been and should be that we're image bearers. Genesis 1:27, we were made in the image of God, and being made in the image of God means that we belong to Him. We bear His image. We were made for Him. Colossians 1:16 says, and so I think coming from that point, if it's, oh, so I'm a woman made in the image of God, therefore I was made for Him, then what does that mean to be made for Him? So that mean that, does it mean that my life is His, my relationships are His, my job is His, my children are His, my body is His, my view of myself, even that is His? And so I think it starts to kind of clarify a lot of the ways in which we should behave and think of the world, our relationships, but also ourselves. And so it can be weird and complicated, but I think when you simplify it in that way, it's just like, oh, I was made for Him, so I just got to live to Him.
I think it's really encouraging too to consider that God's, you know, our identification with God and being His image bearer, like you said, supersedes even like what our feelings are or what our heart says. I've been studying 1 John over the summer, and one thing I was really encouraged by was where he says, by this we shall know we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before Him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And I think that's been really helpful to me too in thinking about identity, that God is greater than whatever it is in my heart that I think, oh, this is gripping me or something that I feel like I have to identify with. So I think that's a great point of that image bearer status never changes and His ownership over us remains secure.
Yes.
Okay. So Jackie, I know we didn't do this at the beginning of the show. We wanted to kind of tee up that identity in Christ and have that platform there. And so now that we have that base, can you just tell us a little bit about your story? We know you have a book coming out in September, right around the time of this interview, called Gay Girl, Good God. And this book is awesome. Emily and I have both read through it, and it talks a lot about you finding your identity in Christ and how that changed you and transformed you. And so we'd love to hear a little bit about your story and how you came to the point to where you found your identity in Christ alone.
Yeah. So I was raised single parent household, which is already transformative in how, well, not transformative in a good way, but I think defining in how I start to think of myself. Not having a dad, you know, kind of does a lot to how you see yourself as a young girl, your beauty, your worth, stuff like that. And so growing up, I feel like a lot of things to, I just tried to gather like a lot of my identity from people, and just trying to find value from them. Cause I was introverted. I didn't know that I was introvert. Cause I don't know if that was like a thing in the early 90s, but, but I didn't know that that was just my personality, not to be, you know, all the life of the party and talking to everybody. So for that reason, I was never really in the in crowd, never really esteemed, never really affirmed. I noticed that I had same-sex attractions, when I was maybe 5 or 6, I don't really remember. And I kind of like hit that and kept that, inside of me, just because when I would go to church, it didn't seem as if that was something you tell people. It didn't seem like that was, something that the church would receive too well if you just let that out the bag. So I just kept it to myself until high school came. And I was like, you know what? This is who I like. This is who I think I like. I'm just going to try it. I'm going to just do me. And it is what it is. And so that's kind of what I did. And when I stepped out and kind of just began to live life as a gay girl, it felt more natural to me than heterosexuality did. It felt as if, oh, this must have been who I've been this whole entire time. And I just didn't know. I was just denying myself this type of experience. Until I was 19, he didn't take long to snatch me up out of his kindness. And he saved me when I was 19 and just showed me all of my sin, not just my sexuality, but that I was a liar. I was a thief. I like getting high all the time, drunkenness. I was disobedient to my mother. And all of this I knew because I had read the Bible before. And so I didn't read the Bible a lot, but what I did read was enough to convict me of sin. And so I just saw, hey, all of the sin, all of the stuff I like to do seems to like not be good. Like, it was just like everything that I loved and enjoyed, I saw that it would not profit me in eternity. And so I just kind of saw the worthlessness of it all. But up and against Christ, it was like, oh, if this stuff is worthless, then you must be like worthy. And I'm not even trying to say that to sound like have some like Christian cliche, but that really was what it was that you must be the only one who was worthy of my heart and my soul if you are snatching me away from everything that I thought was worthy in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so I just believed him. I didn't know that I was believing him. I didn't know that I was repenting of sin. Mm-hmm. I just knew that I saw my sin in its rightful place, which is death. But I also saw and remember that one thing that my aunt told me all the time and that we learned in Sunday school is that Jesus died for sinners so that they would have life. And so I just believed that to be true. And he saved me. And so I think after becoming a Christian, then was the work of how do I now start to define myself when I've defined myself by so many other things. And I think the scriptures helped me to really recognize that, no, like what God says about me is the truth. And because God is a liar, it's like literally the truth. So I have to believe him over and above even how I feel about myself or what people might say that I should feel about myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really helpful because everyone can identify with being a sinner. And I love what you said about just, hey, this is what feels natural to me. Well, what feels natural to me is speaking a harsh word to my children whenever they don't do what is right. What feels natural to me is sitting on the couch and, you know, trying to parent with a side eye or a yell down the stairs instead of actually engaging my children. And so we can't just live based off of what feels natural to us because our flesh and our sin nature is not honoring to God. And so I really think that is a critical piece there. I love you've really discussed in your book and kind of fleshed out what it looks mm-hmm. like to trust what God and his word says about us and let that be what transforms and guides our actions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
So as a mom, since there's pretty much mostly all moms listening right now, we have some non-moms, but can you kind of zero this in for you as a mom, Jackie? What are some places that you do still find yourself misplacing your identity and then, you know, moving back to the cross? But can you walk us through a little bit of just some identities that you personally struggle with as a mom specifically, and then how you point yourself back?
That's good. One of my temptations is that, because I noticed this when I got pregnant this last time around, because I had to like kind of cancel a lot of stuff and just kind of be at home, because it's like, you know, you shouldn't be out traveling and preaching and teaching when you're 8 months pregnant. I was telling a woman from my church, I was like, something about that makes me feel like I'm not doing anything with my life. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Jackie, you need to be okay with seeing that God is just as pleased, and yet you are just as worthy washing the dishes as you are when you're teaching on a stage. Mm. And so I think one of the identities that I try to resist is that thinking that my work as a mother is not a big deal, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And I think you're teaching and all this type of stuff is like, yeah, this is the real work. But it's like, no, God is like, nah, like changing diapers is like a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, sitting and watching Daniel Tiger is like a big deal. Like teaching your daughter how to cook is a big deal. And so I've had to try to reorient how I see motherhood and not seeing it as a lesser thing than the other things that I do. I think that's a big one for me.
Yeah, that is for me as well. I think the instant gratification of, you know, accomplishing something. We produced a podcast and put it out there, or, you know, we've written some social media or whatever it may be in our current work, and, you know, all the likes. And that's just that social media culture, our consumer culture. It's definitely kind of messed with my mind as a mom. And you're so right. Like, it is significant work investing in the souls of our children. And it is just as important as, you know, investing in other people outside our homes. And I think that it can just feel so thankless at times, that motherhood mm-hmm. job. But at the same time, like, I know that who else is going to do that work in my kid's life if I check out and want to go other places? I don't know. I just know it's so important to be present and checked in and not just assume or just like look for the instant gratification from the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. The instant gratification. I never about it. Cause it's like, she doesn't tell me thank you.
Right.
So what? Like, love her. You know, love her. Okay, it's okay. Like, God sees you, mm-hmm. and that's enough. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, like, mm-hmm. mercy, it's merciful to change, you know, a child's dirty diaper that cannot mm-hmm. deal with their own issue of being soiled. And, you know, being able to clean that up and help that child, you know, eat and all of those things is, like, because our identity is founded in Christ, that mercy, those acts of mercy are just as important as acts of mercy that we show to other people. And I think you're right. That's critical to remember. And I think we've kind of talked about it in this conversation, but how specifically, when you catch yourself, you know, wanting to find your identity or your worth or your validation in something outside of Christ, what are some mm-hmm. things that you do to help remember your identity in Christ alone?
Yeah. Well, I think really my first step is getting to the why behind why I feel that way. Mm. And so even if we were to use what we were just discussing as an example, it's like, what is it about teaching on a stage or whatever that you find valuable or more valuable than being at home and sweeping? And I think a lot of it is pride. It's the pride of being seen. And being affirmed in the service, quote unquote, or the work that I've done and are doing. And truth be told, I'm getting paid for it as well. And so I think the pride of that is, okay, is it not enough to be seen by God in the secret places mm-hmm. of your home? Mm-hmm. Is it not enough to be satisfied fully in that the fact that you are righteous in Christ, you are always and will always be approved by God. And so you don't have to work for that approval on a stage or at home. And so the why helps me to figure out what to do with it then. And so I think that's part of what it is when I identify the why, then I go back to the scriptures and what the scripture has to say about how I should handle that why. for myself. And so I think for me, it's just finding just a level of humility in how I see myself and how I see God, and just reminding myself of him. Like, he was a carpenter, for goodness sakes. And he was not anti that being a part of what he did. He was about to save the world, and yet he still had a job. And he still was making tables for people. And I'm sure he wasn't making tables on the Mount, on Mount Sinai. I think looking to Jesus and seeing how much he valued his full identity as being the Son of God and what that meant for me to be like, okay, I can do that too. And it is really okay mm-hmm. for me to own what God has called me to do and called me to mm-hmm. be, however that might look. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I often find myself just praying, like, Lord, let my focus and my value and my worth, like, be found in you, and let it make everything else pale in comparison, you know. And that's just where I want to keep my eyes so focused on him, and like what it means that he's chosen me, that I have eternity with him, that, you know, just this amazing gift. And when I say, like, when I finally believe that's enough, like, I feel like then I'm able to go and turn with my children and play and like fully engage, like maybe for the first time all day, you know, or when my satisfaction is just fully found in Christ, I feel like my mothering is so much better because I'm not distracted by wondering, you know, what's going on my phone, or, you know, what's the next opportunity that I'm going to get, and where am I going to have this other thing to do? And it's so hard, but I find I have to say that to myself like 55 times a day, you know, like, okay, what do I have in Christ? Who am I? Because he died and rose again for me. Like, what does that mean? Okay. Yes. It means I have eternity with him. And I walk through that, and then it's just like, just washes over me. It's been really, a good training ground, but unfortunately have to do it way too many times than I care to admit.
Prayer is huge. I think being honest with God and letting him in on it as if he doesn't already know, being like, hey, this is really the truth of who I am,
right,
or who I believe myself to be right now in this moment. And can you please help me? I think trying to even reorient my identity without asking God for the help to do so is unrealistic, because I need the Spirit of God to do that work. And I need the Spirit of God that as I read the Word of God to renew my mind so that the work is actually productive and changes things. I can't change myself. I can't change my heart. My heart is always going to default back into me believing things that are not true. And so I think prayer is just so huge in all of this.
I wish I could quote the verse right off the top of my head. We've been going through Psalm 119 in church, and there's like one verse in there where the psalmist is basically like, God, force me to do your way, you know, to live according to your will. And it's like, yeah, that's not the official translation. That was the takeaway I remember of just praying, like, God, you're going to have to do this. Like, God, make me, you know, live according to your will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That chapter is full of verbs.
Yeah.
So I guess carrying that a step further, we know, like you said, you're new into motherhood. You know, we're kind of in the early years too. So we definitely try not to give parenting advice on this show, but just curious, like, because identity in Christ has been such a big, you know, theme in your life and in your teaching, how do you see yourself wanting to do that at home with your girls and begin to teach them young to find their identity in Christ, knowing that we can't officially do that work in their heart? But what are some things that you want to do or to share with them to help point them in that direction?
I get
that's how we all feel with this question, so don't worry.
I don't know, because I don't know if I've ever been intentional about this. Is I am trying to help her find her identity right now, but I do think that I've been trying to kind of just establish that she's loved. And so I have a 3-year-old named Eden, and I have a 10-week-old named Autumn. And so Autumn doesn't understand anything I'm saying right now. So I'm going to be speaking specifically about Eden, but I want her to know that she's loved, because I think even in all of my dysfunction, I was super secure in the fact that my mother loved me. And I think me knowing that she loved me kind of kept me out of a lot of mess, because me knowing that she loved me meant that what she had to say about certain things was because she loved me, not because she wanted to harm me or keep me from stuff. And so as her parents, I feel like, well, as her mother, me and Preston, well, as her mother, but yeah, me and Preston, we both want to kind of anchor her in, this is, your parents love you. That is a part of your identity, is that you are loved. And I want that to begin to eventually translate into how she can understand the love of God towards her, and how that should then change how she sees herself and sees the world and everything like that. So I think that's one thing I've been trying to do. I probably don't do a great job, because I do tell her that she's pretty and smart all the time, which might be leading to surprise eventually. But I think that's cool. I think that's necessary, because I didn't think I was pretty. Mm-hmm. Didn't have any idea. And so because of it, because I wasn't hearing about it in home as often as I probably could have, I'd look for every single boy that could possibly tell me that I was cute, when that was just unhealthy. And so, I don't know. I suck at that answer. Sorry.
No, well, and obviously, you know, we're not flies on the wall in your home, but from what we've just observed, I think even on social media or following you guys, you do a great job of just living an authentic relationship of Jesus Christ in front of your family and the world. And I think that's one thing Laura and I have learned a lot is there may not be like the specific intentional touch point, but our kids are going to become, you know, disciples as they just watch us live and come along with us. And they hear us talking about these things all the time. And, you know, they see us repenting and they see us having to turn back and say, wow, I really messed this up. And mommy needs Jesus's help, you know, as much as you do. I have no idea what that's going to produce in our kids, but I am like praying that, you know, if they turn to Christ, like God will use those memories of just watching mom and dad and hopefully the community that they're in finding their identity in Christ. And I don't know. That's my hope.
Amen.
Yeah. So much of parenting is modeling, which is terrifying, to be honest. But
no, it is.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, do as I do, you know? And I think it's just the whole actions speak louder than words. And we can sometimes get so caught up in focusing, I think, on how do I get their identity in Christ, when really it's just like, let me just show you what it looks like to be sold out for the gospel and come along with me. And I hope that you fall in love with Jesus so much, because you see how I love Jesus and what he's done for me. And I want to just like image that for you. And I don't know, that's, you know, we got 20 years with these kids, 18, I don't know however long we've got with them under our roofs. And I have a 5-year-old now, and I just feel like time is slipping away. Like they say, and I can't believe I'm saying that with a 5-year-old, but it's going to kindergarten, you know, and I am just grasping for that time with him, but of just wanting like him so dearly to love God, to find his identity in Christ, and to understand what that really means. And I know of no other way to do that than to just try to like live out my own relationship. Yeah. And not overcomplicate it. Cause then I get all tied up that I'm kind of ineffective, to be honest. So, okay. Jackie, for our last question, we just want to ask you about what you might do with a friend who is possibly finding her identity in other things. You know, a lot of the moms that are listening, there's a lot of podcast clubs that women have, or they get together and they discuss the show. And they're also just talking about the things of motherhood. You know, we're all kind of finding comrades along the way. And I'm curious how you might offer her some tips for remembering the gospel. Like, can you just walk us through what might be helpful as we interact with our friends?
I think what I would say is, I think the why is huge. Understanding why you are placing your identity and what you are placing your identity in. I think it's valuable to understand that, one, just so we can understand ourselves. And in understanding ourselves, I think that gives us room to kind of not repeat the same patterns. Because when you start to figure yourself out, it's like, oh, this is why I do what I do, so that when the same temptation comes up 2 months from now or next Tuesday, I'm able to identify it and say, I know what that is and I know what to do with it. And so I've been getting to the why of it, and then going back to the text, going back to scripture. So if it's a friend that says, hypothetically, I'm really struggling with finding my identity in being a minister. I'll say this one. I'm really finding my identity in being someone who's really good. I feel like I am a good person, but I feel like that's an identity that I probably shouldn't like bank my entire life on. And it's like, okay, why do you find your identity in that? Well, I guess I get some type of value of feeling like I could just, you know, do what God tells me to do. Like I find some type of value in that I could work for his approval or something. It's like, oh, okay, well, maybe we should go to Galatians and work out for them. Maybe we should see that, no, there's nothing you can do to be saved. There's nothing you can do to find approval in God. If that was the case, then Jesus wouldn't have had to die. You would have been the savior for all of us. And so knowing that that's not the truth, knowing that only Jesus could save us and only Jesus could make us right with God, and that there is so much identity to be found in being someone who was redeemed and not being the one that could redeem themselves, that there is glory in that truth, then let's remind ourselves of that and let's pray together. And so I think from after identifying the why, identifying what that is, going to the scriptures, I think there's some repentance that needs to take place. There's, God, I am sorry for placing my identity in X, Y, and Z and not in what you have done for me on the cross. And after repentance, there's truth. There's a turning from, but knowing, okay, God is going to help me even in this. You know, to every temptation, there's a way of escape. Sometimes the escape is just believing the truth. It may not just be an exit door or turning off your phone. It's just believing what you already know to be true. And praying together and affirming each other, like, you are this, you are, don't feel, because we don't want another identity of shame. Now I'm shaming myself because I admitted that I suck. We don't want to do that either. Yeah. Why? Prayer, repentance, scripture, hope. I think that's what I would do. And I don't think it would be as neat as that. That could happen over sections. That could happen over a couple weeks, or it could happen over a 2-hour session at Starbucks. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Depends on how the Lord leads. But I think that's the gist of what I've often done with my friends.
Yeah. I love how you mentioned, I don't know if I've heard anybody say it that way before, of the way of escape may just be remembering the truth of the word. Yeah. Because a lot of times we think that we're in a situation of like, I cannot escape. Mm-hmm. If I have 4 little kids at my knees that need something, and I'm like, okay, how do I get out of the temptation to, you know, gripe at them or to, you know, speak unkindly or whatever it is? It's to remember the truth of the word. Mm-hmm. My circumstances may not change. Mm-hmm. And even the things that I'm going to keep struggling with, those may still be there. But having that nugget of truth to be able to remember, mm-hmm, is a great way to escape. And also really liked how you said we don't want to start identifying ourselves with shame. Mm-hmm. Which is a huge struggle, I think, for me, is, mm-hmm, when I repent and then I'm like, man, I'm just such a jerk.
The worst.
And get into like this really bad cycle.
Oh my God. And it's like, okay, let's not do that either.
I know. So it is really hard to remember the truth, but that's why the community is yeah, so important. Dude, is having other believers around you who you can say that to be like, man, I am just really down on myself. Like, I have repented of this and I've prayed and I'm trying to hope in Christ, but I am still just, you know, wanting to pay for my own sins. You know, help me. What can I believe? So we just really appreciate you having this conversation with us today. I think so many moms are going to benefit from thinking more intentionally about what it means to place our identity in Christ. And for those who are listening that, you know, want to hear more of Jackie's story, you should pick up her book, Gay Girl, Good God, The Story of Who I Was and Who God Has Always Been. It releases September 3rd. And she also just has a ton of great content out there, both in spoken word and teaching and all kinds of great things. So we'll leave some links to her accounts there. So any last words for us, Jackie?
No, I would say that you guys are really encouraging. You gave me a lot to even think about just as I move forward as a mother. So I'm glad that you guys are doing this podcast.
Oh, well, thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah.